Well, I'm delighted to be here today talking about hope for Advent. Two reasons. One is that I've grown up in New Zealand in not a traditional church. We always met in school halls, in town halls, so we never did Advent. And I've really learned in recent years the richness of actually doing Advent, of actually taking the time to kind of get slowly to Christmas. In New Zealand, the rush to Christmas is even worse than it is here because it's summer holidays, end of school, getting ready for Christmas, teacher's presents, and going on holiday. So it's just crazy. So Advent, since I've learned it in recent years, has just been great to learn that process of going slow. The second reason is that hope has been something that I've had to journey in recent years, and so I'll share a bit about that later on, about why hope means something to me. We're going to be organized. This is the journey map. We're going to do what is hope, why we can have hope, how we can keep in hope, and who needs hope. And that's for ourselves, but also for other people. So what is hope? Well, as the children struggled to identify what is hope, I think we struggle because it's actually a word that we use kind of every day. You know, you might say, I hope you have a good day today, or I hope I get a bird bath for Christmas. So, yeah, that's a very public hint. and then you'd sort of say, well, is what we're talking about today, is it just that kind of hope? And I'd like to suggest there's is a bit more to that. So traditionally, you know, the first Sunday in Advent was about hope. And as I say, it's not about wishing for something. It's something a bit stronger than that. And this is a good definition that I found. Hope is the confident expectation of goodness. Read that again. Hope is the confident expectation of goodness. We can be confident there's going to be goodness. And then I had to put the bottom bit, because why can we be confident? It's because he is good. And so we're going to unpack that a bit more. So let's just also explore what the Bible says about hope. And I'm going to get you involved. You need to read with me, please. So, O Lord, you alone are my hope. I've trusted in you, O Lord, from childhood. Yes, you have been with me from birth. From my mother's womb, you have cared for me. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what do all those verses have in common? They all talk about God being the source of our hope, and whether it's the Psalms or it's the New Testament. So, why can we have hope? Well, when I researched the theme, why hope is the Advent theme, I discovered that we celebrate the birth of Jesus because he ushered in the period of hope. The Old Testament was all about looking forward to the birth of Jesus. So Jesus' birth is the start of that hope. But secondly, the reason why Advent is traditionally celebrated, Advent has hope as the first week, is because Jesus' death or resurrection, when Jesus comes back, he will be ushering in hope for the world again. So traditionally, the church has always done hope being Jesus' birth and hope being Jesus' second coming. But I kind of suggest that that is almost leaves us in limbo, like, well, what happens now? So I like to suggest it's even more powerful than that we are actually living in an era of hope. this time now between his birth and when he comes back, it's not a time of nothingness, it's a time of hope. And it's a time when we can know hope, but also that we can carry hope into our wherever we are. So the other sort of way of looking at it is the fact that the characteristics of God, and some people might struggle understanding, well, we all can't grasp all of God, but some people sort of identify with God as being their personal God, but don't kind of can't really grasp him being as the God of everything. Or other way around, they can grasp him as being the God of the universe, but not their personal father. So I like images, and I think images can really speak powerfully. And if you look at the hands there, that really gives us an understanding of why we can have hope, because God is both intimate and powerful. His hands hold you as an individual, me as an individual, but also he's got the whole universe in his hands. It's not too hard for him or too big for him. So that's, again, why I think we can have hope, because of both characteristics or both aspects of God. Another way of sort of explaining why we can have hope, I mean, who's been to see Handel's Messiah, which is often at Christmas time? I see a hand. Yes. I love Handel's Messiah. I first went to hear it in the town hall in Auckland when I was in my 20s, and I just fell in love with it. And so much so, I came home and raved about it to my father, and he, and this will date me, bought me a tape of it. And I've still got it, just to put it in one of the few presents my father bought me. Usually it's the mother that does all these things, isn't it? But I think there's such power in that, in the words that he's put to music, which when you hear it played by amazing musicians and sung by these amazing voices, it's just like that's God's words to us. I was going to play it today. We didn't have time. So some people were like, yay. And some people were like, oh, that's sad. But these are the words that I wanted to draw our attention to. So, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Look at those words in there. This is God who loves us as an individual. You know, he is an everlasting father. He is a counselor. You know, he is wonderful. He's with us. That is who we know, and that is why we can have hope. And then if you've been to see Handel, you know this is one of those sort of soaring things that happen near the end. And when they do this part of it, you know, worthy is the Lamb that was slain and hath redeemed us to God by his blood, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And I won't sing it, but it goes, blessing and honor, glory and power to be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. Amen. That is our Father. That is our God. That power of all those words. All power, all riches, all wisdom, all strength, honor and glory, that is our Father. And that is just so amazing, those verses. It is scripture put to music. So I alluded to this before. My story, we moved from New Zealand, we went to Utah, we were there, where Leith lost his job, we lost our visa. We are then illegal aliens. We had to leave the country really quickly. Had no jobs anywhere. We came to England. Gradually, the practical things fell into place, and we got jobs, we got school, we got a house. But I think the emotional side of it took a lot longer. I had a real sense of loss. I had a real sense of hopelessness that I'd had a good job in New Zealand. I didn't have a good job here. I was known in New Zealand. Now I was alone. And I really felt like I was in a situation of hopelessness. And I would even say, you know, I felt really anxious. I felt really almost depressed at times because it was like, what hope is there for me in this new situation? And things aren't going to get any better. I think that was the problem. Underneath, I just didn't feel like things could get better than what they were at that time. I think also, as I reflect on that time, I think underneath it, there was a fear, or a lot more than one fear probably, a real fear that the situation I was in was too hard for me, and actually it was too hard for God, that I couldn't cope with this situation, and that I couldn't get a good job, or I couldn't have friends, or I couldn't be supported. I was by myself. And I think through that, I've really had to unpack some of the things of my life growing up in the church. But actually, the church can make you have the wrong view of God. So I had to really realize that God was my personal father, and that my identity was in him, not in what I was doing, and not in what I had done or anything like that. So it was really a journey out of religion into faith, and a journey out of doing into being. I had to be vulnerable to other people helping me on that journey as well. So I wouldn't say that I'm a professional hope person. I think I've still got an L plate on. But I'm just going to share with some of the things that how I have learned how we can keep in hope. So I think the thing is that we can so easily lose hope. We need to keep ourselves in hope constantly. And one of those things is this verse I found in Ephesians. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep in the soil of God's marvelous love. And you think of that tree there. It doesn't just get that big and that strong, like overnight. And that we, to have those deep roots that go into God's love and sustain us through the thick and thin, it's that's just gradually putting down more roots. You know, reading his words and being with other people who will encourage us, and so that when the hard times come, we're not thrown by them. The second thing I've kind of learned is important is focusing on the truth about God and about myself. And I've listened to a lot of podcasts from Bethel, and that's mainly I have to drive up to Oxford and an hour in the car, and if I didn't have something to listen to, I'm afraid I would break the speed limit an awful lot. So by listening to a podcast, it makes the time really useful. And one phrase that I've heard in several podcasts, which has really struck me, is this one. And I think, really, is that true? Am I believing a lie? Is that why I don't have hope? What is that lie? I think back and I think I was probably believing lies that God didn't really love me and that he was kind of a bit busy with other people. Or I was believing that the problem was too big for him or for me. And maybe I was believing lies about that my future wouldn't get any better than what it was. Another person said this, any thought that does not bring life and hope to you is not from the God of hope and needs to be discarded. So we need to actually be assessing what goes on in our thoughts and actually saying, actually, that's not the truth. That's actually making me feel discouraged. I'm just going to chuck that one away. I don't know about you, but I have a constant life, you know, that's going on in here. So, you know, we can actually subtly believe things like that person will never come to Christ, or my child is in a hopeless situation, or financially we'll never get any better than what we are now. Those can be lies that we can actually believe without even identifying that those are lies. So instead, we need to believe that God is our Father, that he loves us as a son or as a daughter, and that he wants good things for us. And that's the truth. But so often, we're actually believing lies instead. You know, with my work situation, at the darkest time, I couldn't sleep on Sunday nights because I was in complete dread about going to work on Monday mornings. And that had to turn around by starting to be thankful for that job and actually speaking positive things about that job rather than allowing those negative thoughts that that was a terrible situation. The third thing that I've found really helpful is declarations. And I must admit that Kerry's not here, but when I first heard about declarations, I really couldn't cope with them, and I really thought they were not that good. I was like, why would you say something when you don't believe it? But actually, it says in Proverbs, there's power of life and death in the tongue. And so something about saying a declaration, even if you don't believe it, actually starts speaking the truth over yourself. And I'm trying to teach my kids this and say, why would you curse yourself? Why would you say something bad about yourself? Speak something that's full of life. So we're going to say some declarations at the end. And I just encourage you, if you don't really, really believe them yet, still say them, and say them believing that, you know, it will gradually become true because you'll gradually start to believe them. And I think the reason is because we're partnering with God with the truth. That's why declaration is important. And if you use the picture of I've sown some wild grass seed out the back of my garden, and it's hopefully in spring going to come up with some flowers. Now, I'm likely to get bees and insects because I've put the seeds down. They might be there anyway, but by putting the seeds down, they're more likely to come. So by us doing declarations, we're actually encouraging things to come into our lives, the good things. Now, the other thing I just wanted to share was just you can learn from other people, and you can learn about other people's stories, and they can encourage you. So it's why it's great to be with other people. And often, I think when you feel in a hopeless situation, you actually withdraw. You withdraw from other people, and you withdraw from God. You kind of have this thing like, excuse me, God, I'll come back to you when I'm feeling a bit better. But actually, there's something powerful from actually being with other people and picking up on their stories. So I had the privilege of interviewing Jan. And for those of you who don't know Jan, she's been living a life, she's had 7 years since she's been diagnosed with cancer. So she's currently receiving treatment to hold back the further spread of the disease. I'm reading it carefully because I want to say the right thing. So I asked her to share her secrets because I felt like somebody living with cancer, we can learn from that. Sorry, it's really bad technology.
You've asked me how do I manage to stay in hope in my situation. And I think, you know, the baseline is the character of God. And the fact that over these last few years, I have discovered so much more about the goodness of God. And not only the fact that he is utterly good, but the fact he's actually with me all the time. And that is what gives me hope. Because I think then whatever happens in the future, whatever each day holds, I know that he's actually going to be there with me. And his goodness is going to be poured out on me. And what I have so far experienced of his goodness is such a small amount of the goodness that is in him that he wants to give to me. So when I think about the future, and, you know, there can be some pretty scary things that I would think about. What I actually do is I imagine God being in the room with me at the time, whether it's hearing results from a doctor or times maybe of pain to come or whatever. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that God is going to be there. And not only there, but pouring goodness and mercy out on me every day. So that every day is a day of grace for me whether it's grace because it goes really well, or whether it's grace because there's strength given in the time of weakness, that is where my hope rests. And the fact that God is actually going to be able to take care of my heart, whatever happens, that his courage and his peace is always going to be available to me. So some people would call me an optimist, but actually I don't think I'm an optimist at all, because actually what I do is I think about the worst case scenario. I imagine that God will be there in the midst of it with me, working goodness into me and looking after my heart and giving me peace. And that, in effect, it sort of settles it now for me that whatever comes in the future, he is actually going to be there. And that is the hope that I have for the future. So another thing that I've been asked is how I live in that kind of hope every day. And I think the way I've decided to do life is, I don't know whether I'm going to live for 3 months or 3 years or 30 years. And all of those are possible at this stage. But I suppose that's the same for all of us, isn't it, really? And I did ask myself, how then do I want to live each day? And because of God pouring so much hope and goodness into me, I want that to pour out of me to other people. So I do try and think, you know, each day, how do I want to live life? And that is out of my identity as a beloved child of God and with God with me each day, and that I can fulfil my calling every day, which is to strengthen and comfort and encourage other people. So through the good times and the hard times, the good days and the bad days, that is my hope, that God is good and he's with me.
Thank you, Jen. I know that was not easy for you to watch. but I think that what struck me when I watched that, you know, I watched it several times now, is that Jen's hope is not in everything necessarily going well. It's a hope knowing that God's with her no matter what happens. And that's actually a really deep level of hope. And the other thing that Jen said is that, you know, we are hope bearers, we carry hope, and the fact that we who needs hope is, it was really the next section, and the fact that we can be carriers of hope no matter where we are and with who we're with. And it might be that we need hope in our own lives, but it might mean we need hope in our family. It might mean we have a burden for another country or for a political situation, and we can be bearers of hope in that situation. So I'd just like to consider, you know, some people right now might need hope in their life. Right now, there might be a situation that as we're talking, you're like, yeah, I just feel something in me. And I just want to say that today is the day of hope in that situation. And we're just going to pause just for 1 minute. Just allow a time of reflection and prayer, and just bring that situation to God. And then we'll just move on and we'll do some declarations. Okay, so just like a moment of silence. So let us pray. I just encourage you, if you've got a situation that you need hope in, just to almost put it in front of you and put it in your hands as if you're holding it before God. And then let's pray. So whether it's for yourself or for somebody else, for your family or whatever it is. So Father, we just bring you this situation where we lack hope. But today on Advent, our hope is revived. Today we want to believe the truth about you and about your goodness in this situation. And we give you this hopelessness and despair that we have about this situation, and we, in return, receive your hope. We thank you that you're a good Father who loves us as individuals, but also you're a good Father who actually has all power and all bigness that can cope with the whole world. Thank you, Lord. So as I said, we're going to end with declarations. And the band can come up. So let's stand and let's say these declarations as a sign that we are believing them over that situation. So these are some of my favorite hope ones. So there is always hope in every situation. My future is a future of joyful hope. I quickly recognize lies and replace them with the truth. I know who I am in God and live accordingly. God passionately loves me. God's goodness is my anchor in the story. My biblical optimism leads to breakthrough. I let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. So go in hope.